what it is.
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is Hard Factor.
And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Hard Factor, presented by Barstool News Network. It is Tuesday, February 11th, 2020, and today's show is going to be a long lightning round, two stories apiece. We got the full crew. It's going to go Wes, myself, Mark, and then Pat. So Wes, just get us going. Let's jump right into it.
All right. Guess what, Mark? They contain the coronavirus.
You weren't on the show yesterday where we promised to not talk about this fucking thing until we got Donnie, and we're all liars and we're talking about it right away.
Sorry, well, I lied anyway. It just keeps getting worse. And yesterday, China had its deadliest day yet. 103 people died in one day.
Not at the hands of the government.
What's that?
You mean not at the hands of the government?
No, at the hands of the virus.
Okay.
The virus, right.
It's the highest reported day.
Right, exactly. And I feel like it's just going to keep, every day is not going to be the highest reported day. Cases climb, and
I like to think of the virus having tentacles, not hands.
Huh?
Okay. Continue. Okay.
I mean, it's airborne, right? And it doesn't have a new name, too, right, Wes? It's got like a proper name you're supposed to refer to it by.
I have no idea. Can
well,
you?
Well, no. I mean, Wes and I were talking about this. Coronavirus is like a type of virus, like SARS
it's
was
got
the
a
type
new name.
Well, Wuhan virus. Was, I thought it was the Wuhan coronavirus.
No, it's like it's a proper name. Hold on.
Okay.
One second.
Okay. All right, we'll keep going.
Anyway. So 103 people died in the disease's center, the Hubei province, and that brings the total deaths to over 1,011 in China and 1,013 globally at the time of this recording. It's very likely, as I said, that these deadliest days will just keep happening once a week or whatever, with over 42,500 cases now worldwide. And that cruise ship we have been following, the Diamond Death Trap of the Seas, is getting even scarier for passengers and crew on board, with cases now doubling to 165, with 10 of those cases occurring in the crew, who all share the same mess hall and living areas. So it makes sense. The crew is fucked, and then they are visiting passengers to give them water and food. So it's just like...
It's a death boat. They're trapped on the They're trapped on the flu death boat.
Yes.
The new name of the virus is 2019-nCoV, acute respiratory disease.
Yeah, but it's 2020, Will.
Started in 2019.
Oh, okay. Established in.
Yep.
Yeah, and so yesterday passengers were given masks that are capable of filtering out 95%.
Just yesterday?
Yeah, just yesterday. They all finally got masks.
And it's only, that's not funny, but fuck.
Yeah, they only gave them masks that are capable of filtering 95% of airborne particles, which is like, what the fuck? Can't they get the 100% masks? That'd be nice.
This virus, you give it any percent.
Right.
It's getting in.
It's getting in those lungs. It's probably only a matter of days before these people start threatening violence to let themselves off. I mean,
that's what I was saying yesterday.
Yeah.
If you're locked in there, because they were quarantined until at least February 19th as of yesterday, if there weren't new cases, I think they reset the quarantine at 14 days from like the most recent new case. So now you're talking like February 20th, 21st. It's going to keep growing. At some point, they're going to get violent. They're going to want to get out.
I mean, it's like claustrophobia.
You get stir fever, cabin fever.
Can't you just like stab yourself in the leg and like hopefully?
Yes, people that have been injured for non-coronavirus have been taken off.
They will take you off.
That's the move. Yeah, that's the move.
Also, if you're a performer on that cruise ship, like you're probably running out of material.
If you're a performer, you're dead because you're out in the public. Like that's what I'm saying. Like the guy.
Yeah, you've shaken too many hands.
The cruise director had a show that they were going to put on TV. He's going to die soon, so they have to go to the next guy.
Yeah, you don't want to be the event coordinator on that ship. You're already in the hospital.
Well, the cruise director's show is called The Wake, Mark.
Right. It's about to be the Sleep.
it's a terrible name.
Yeah. So 439 people, I don't know, I'm sorry if you guys covered this yesterday, have been tested, leaving 3,000 untested. And Japan said they don't have the resources to test all of them, which is bullshit. You know, they come out with like technology 3 years ahead of us. They think they could get, you know, 3,000 tests.
We did cover this yesterday, Wes, but it's doubled since yesterday.
It amount doubled. Of people. You had to recover it. Japan's probably like, please stop sending them on short.
Right, and the Hong Kong ship tested all 1,800 crew members after the passengers left that ship.
That makes more sense.
Why can't they fucking get the people that have been on there longer or whatever? I mean, it's.
You should write them a letter, Wes.
I should. I am gonna write them a letter, Pat. as soon as this all goes away. It also looks like preferential treatment is being given to younger patients, as an 84-year-old woman on the ship with fever has been overlooked by medical staff. And her daughter said she tried to bring her food and water to the port, but was...
That's when you know it's bad, when they just like are giving up on the old people. Yeah. Like there's just because there's too many people
it's
to care about.
It's considered terminal probably for a lot of the older people.
Yeah. So that's the update for today. Great. Still shitty.
Cool.
Man, that's a bad update. All right, let's talk about New Hampshire, guys. New Hampshire votes today, Tuesday, February 11th. And because of that, they're voting their primaries, both Republican and Democrat. So President Trump spoke there yesterday to secure his Republican nomination. And his speech to lock up the primary consisted of an interesting encouragement to his supporters, which was to meddle with the Democratic primary. So he's saying they should vote in the Democratic primary because it's an open state in New Hampshire. You can vote for either one. He was encouraging Republicans to vote for the weaker candidates. And I'm sure he's going to play that off as a joke, but that's something that you typically don't do out in the open. People do it all the time in primary states, but you typically wouldn't do that out in the open unless you were worried about the election.
I don't think that was a joke.
Yeah. Now he'll play it off as a joke, I'm saying, but it's a weird thing to say. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know.
You know what would be funny? That's what he's saying.
I'm kind of confused. I thought in a primary you had to be a registered member of the party.
No. And it depends on the state. And in Texas, like where you guys are, you don't have to be a member of that party. You just can only vote in one primary per year.
Okay.
Yeah. And most states would have open primaries. That's the way it is.
Right.
Caucusing, Pat, on the other hand, you do have to be a registered member of the party.
This is huge news for Tom Steyer. Huge news.
It is.
Why is that?
Because he's going to get all those medal votes.
He's polling low. It's going to be yeah. Exactly.
I don't think anybody's actually going to do it. They're probably just going to go and support Trump, their guy.
A lot of Trump supporters will do whatever he says. And Trump has plenty of votes to give away in these states. He's not going to lose any of them.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, yeah, no. It's fine for him to do this. It's just like typically, I mean, Trump is an atypical politician, though. So typically you wouldn't have politicians being so open about, hey, go fuck with this, unless they were actually scared. But maybe for him, it's different. I don't know.
He just likes to be competitive, even in pretty much any scenario. He wants to rile things up.
Yeah, he's a new breed. That's for sure. Other Trump speech highlights, besides all the winning that he highlighted, of course, was he made fun of Nancy Pelosi for mumbling the whole time behind him at the State of the Union address to raucous laughs from the crowd, of course.
So, mumbling or muttering or both?
Muttering. Yeah. Wasn't mumbling. Yeah. Yeah, he was like she was just making noises back there and annoying me basically. So the crowd loved that. And then he said the Democratic. That's a shitty impression.
Do it. Do
he
it.
Said,
Will.
He said the Democratic Party wants to run your health care, but they can't even run a caucus in Iowa. Yeah. So
still hammering those folks in Iowa, huh?
He plays the hits.
Yeah, got him. Got him. And then finally, Trump told a tale of a tender woman who invited a snake into her home, only to be bitten and then die. But as she's dying, the snake says, "Shut up, you silly woman. You knew damn well I was a snake before you took me in." And the snake, in this case, is immigration. And the supple, buxom woman is the USA.
That's a fun fun Aesop's fable.
He picked that up at the prayer breakfast, I bet.
Yeah. I think so, Pat. Yeah. That's probably where that one was flying around. So that was Trump's day in New Hampshire. Pretty funny. Pretty funny all around. And then when it comes to the Democratic side of things, that's the side that everybody's really paying attention to today, because we want to find out who New Hampshire elects for their nominee. Buttigieg is surging in the polls, and he's battling with Biden for the centrist vote in New Hampshire. But it doesn't matter if Mayor Pete is surging in the polls, because Bernie's going to fucking kick his ass in New Hampshire. And I am hammering Bernie in New Hampshire, Nevada, California, Colorado, Maine, Texas, and Virginia before he smashes the election in New Hampshire tonight, because some of those are close to double ups. And I think that once he gets the momentum from New Hampshire, and he probably is going to win in Nevada too, he's the only person that's knocked on my door as a native Nevadan. So I think he's about to pick up a lot of steam with these next two.
Who knocked on your door?
Bernie.
Personally?
Bernie's campaign.
No, he was lost. Bernie was lost.
Sir,
Sir,
can you get me back to the highway?
I got some water. Yeah,
so Do you have any contact solution?
I just think I'm going to put out a new election gambling blog on Wednesday, and I think we got to kind of rush to get these Bernie bets in because I think he's about to pick up some steam.
You're right, and even for the whole primary, it's a double up now, but he's going to go up. If he does as well as he's going to do tomorrow or today, right. He's going to go
if
up.
I put money on all those, and if I go above 500 on all those states, I put them down today. If I go above 500 on that, essentially he will have locked up the nomination.
I get two G's if he wins tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Have you guys seen the Biden ad against Buttigieg? Have you guys seen
this
thing?
No, I haven't seen it.
What happened?
He makes fun of how little Buttigieg handles like money, and he says, I handled $80 billion. This is what I did. And then he says, Mayor Pete installed decorative lighting around the lake. Mayor Pete installed decorative sidewalks in his town. He uses the word decorative twice, so he's kind of
We all know what he meant by that.
It's fucked up, man.
Wasting funds.
Is that fucked up to say he installed decorative shit?
You know what he's saying.
You know what he's saying, Will.
You know what he's saying.
Oh, because he's saying he's just an interior decorator town. Yeah. And that's all.
That's the joke. Like, could you imagine how pretty the White House would look if
he's saying him and Chastin are decorating.
They're wasting funds.
His male partner, Chastin.
Exactly.
Come on.
So you guys are the homophobic ones. Oh, okay, Joe didn't say.
Something's wrong on this side of the podcast.
Right.
Pat and I have exchanged flowers this week. So
and we're gonna again tomorrow.
I don't really want to.
All right, well, that's it in New Hampshire. I think, you know, Bat's going to talk more about predict it later, but I think we're going good with Bernie.
All right, guys. As we mentioned on yesterday's show, the Oscars stunk and they stunk bad. They received the lowest ratings in the show's history by over 2 million viewers. Ooh. Ouch. And that second to worst show was all the way back. Oh, it was in 2018, 2 years ago, because they've been stinking for a little while now. A few notes before I go back in on the Oscars. One, I'm a huge movie fan. I have a deep love of movies, always have and always will. I've watched probably 3 million movies. No exaggeration.
I think it's a bit of an exaggeration.
Not possible.
I did the math.
Where did you find the time?
Yeah, exactly. Don't fuck with me or Hard Factor Pat on movie trivia. You don't want to run against us. You don't want this noise. This isn't an I hate movies thing. It's an I hate the Oscars. That's a mistake. The Lights, Camera, Barstool podcast. If you haven't been listening to that, you need to go join that because they are awesome. They're hilarious. They give very insightful movie reviews. They give really good information.
They kind of called the Parasite win, right?
Yes, they did. They called it the best movie of 2019. They have a t-shirt. They're very good. They're very knowledgeable. They give awesome recommendations. If you're even moderately into movies, check them out. They're like the number one movie podcast in the world.
They have better bodies than us. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, that's because I watched 3 million movies. Tied for them.
What I'm saying. They should have worse bodies.
No, definitely aggregate, we're the least in shape of all podcasts.
That's what I'm saying.
I would say so.
Yeah.
For sure. No, it's not like even up for debate. It's right. We're last.
We're gonna get it together in 2021.
Two.
Right.
Lastly, third thing I'm gonna say positive, Parasite won Best Picture as a foreign film. Very cool. Why haven't I fucking seen that movie yet? I'm so mad at myself. I'm an idiot.
I tried last night, but it's really hard to watch a foreign film if you've been drinking or smoking.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. I actually really love foreign films, and I enjoy subtitle films, but then I have to like stop.
They got
to
dub it.
I stop drinking, and usually I watch movies on the weekend. Never mind. Now back on to the Oscars. It's time to fucking end the Oscars. They need to go away. There are too many award shows, specifically movie award shows, during like award season. There's the Golden Globes, the SAG Awards, the Gotham Awards, the Independent Spirit Awards, or whatever Sandler just won Best Actor for an Uncut Gems recently, and then you got the Oscars and probably a dozen others I didn't mention. Now I know the Oscars are the most prestigious, but they're also the worst and have been for like 5 to 7 years.
Why do you say that?
Well, because Pat, I used to love to watch the Oscars. It was one of my favorite things of the year. I would get hyped for it for weeks. I would watch it start to finish, and it sucked donkey dick the past 5 to 7 years. It's brutally bad. They don't have any hosts.
I mean, I stopped watching a long time ago.
They don't have any fucking hosts anymore. They can't even pay to get a comedian to host the fucking Oscars.
They could pay.
Because it's so pretentious. No one wants to do it because it's the worst award show in the history of award shows currently. I hate it. I think it needs to stop.
But Mark, what would all the actors and actresses do if they weren't allowed to get on stage and tell a political platform once a year year every year.
And that's the problem.
What
the
would happen?
The Golden Globes has the
USA would implode, Mark. We wouldn't know what to do without the brightest
you have
and
to
best
use your
of
voice
us
for
telling
the voiceless,
us how
Will.
To think.
Now, they are going to be the voiceless, Pat, because they're losing 2 million viewers a year. They're running their fucking Oscars into the ground. Last night, watching the Oscars, it was so boring, I couldn't wait to start working on the podcast.
But you know you shouldn't drink milk.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. He's right. He's
no,
right.
No, he's not. Don't get me wrong.
He's 100% right. The Joaquin podcast, was right.
Not on the what on the milk part?
Yes, on the milk part.
Shut the fuck up. Don't get me wrong. Cows. The podcast is fun to work on, but it's work, and I couldn't wait to get to work reading, writing, and researching and getting away from the fucking television that was the Oscars. It was brutal. Ricky Gervais, in one of the best monologues you'll see this year at the Golden Globes, skewered how the award show were ridiculous and boring and monotonous and how all the award winners were way too political and judgmental. Guess what? He wasn't at the Oscars, and it was open season on the preaching and the lecturing and trying to solve the world's problems 1 minute at a time from good-looking multimillionaires in fancy suits and dresses that were holding golden statues and holding back tears. Fuck! You reached the pinnacle of your career, you won an Oscar, you dipshit. How about enjoying the moment and thank the people that helped you get there, including your family and everyone in the movie business, you know, and perpetuating the industry you love instead of giving a beauty pageant show answer, you fucking pricks.
Who are you talking about?
All of them. The only person that's been giving good speeches this award season is the Parasite director, who's been preaching about movies and how he wants more foreign films to be recognized.
You don't even know
everyone
what he's
else. I
and drinking beers.
Up.
And drinking beers.
You can't come from a high horse, Pat, and then make fun of someone for speaking in a different language. He had a translator.
Yeah, that's
everyone
what I'm
else is like
she's
talking about politics and the climate change and the fucking milk.
And
shut
Bong
the fuck
wants
up.
To drink beers.
You're not the right people to be talking about it. I get that you have the world stage, but like I mentioned earlier, you're losing it 2 million people at a fucking clip a year because you all fucking suck. Taking it to the internet, Ricky Gervais said, I have nothing against the most famous people in the world using their privileged global platform to tell the world what they believe. I even agree with most of it. As a lot of us do, Pat.
Thank you.
I just tried to warn them that when they lecture everyday hardworking people, it has the opposite effect. And here's the thing. He's right. Oscars, you're on notice. And if I were you, I'd pay Ricky Gervais or Dave Chappelle whatever the fuck it takes to get them to host next year.
That's true. Mark, you are right, but they're not on notice because they've been declining in the ratings for years and they just don't care.
Yeah, all ratings have been declining, but this is bad. This is not good.
The Oscars are trash.
Let's talk about making some cash with our partner Predictit, guys.
All right.
The website where you can gamble on the news and politics. If you want to sign up and get a free $20 with your first $20 deposit, go to our specific URL. It is predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20. So I made like $80 yesterday on the Bloomberg tweet market. I want to tell you guys about it. You got to keep an eye on these tweet markets. So these are the markets that that are how frequently someone will tweet during the period of a week or a day. The lengths vary. But at like 2 p.m. yesterday, I checked the how many times will Bloomberg tweet this week market, and there was like one day left on it. And then I went to PieCount.com, and PieCount, by the way, guys, is an awesome data aggregator that essentially will tell you specifically to the tweet markets that are live, how often, what they're pacing for. Like, you know, for example, Trump's tweet markets are open every week. It'll tell you how many tweets Trump is pacing for that week, where they're at currently that day.
Yep.
And
they're up to date within like 10 seconds. So if you need to know how many tweets someone's done, go to PieCount.
It's awesome. So anyway, nice. I checked this thing yesterday, PieCount, and Bloomberg was pacing for like 111 tweets. And that band of the market was like 20 cents. So I bought in, and like 3 hours later, that band of the market was at 80 cents. So I made like 60 cents per share on this Bloomberg tweet market. It was fish in a barrel. And the thing about PieCount, guys, is it's data projection, right? So the shorter period it's projecting, like the closer a market gets to closing, the more accurate the PieCount data is. Like when a tweet market opens, there's 7 days left. Andrew Yang might be projected to tweet 9,000 times, but the day before the market closes, PieCount's going to give you a pretty accurate projection.
It just takes the averages of all the days, and then at the end of the day, they have a more accurate average.
I think it's a little bit, yeah, it's pretty much that, yeah. more or less. Another interesting market, guys, is will Mayor Pete win at least one primary? Yes, is currently at about 63 cents. I would get in there, right?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, I liked it when it was at 50 cents and it went up like 13
cents. I mean,
if Iowa
counts as a primary, sure.
I feel like
I don't think it does.
I feel like we should know if Indiana does a primary or not. Does it?
They do, I'm sure. Well,
or a caucus.
Wait, hold on.
That's
no,
what I'm saying.
I don't know. It could be a caucus.
That's his own state. Well, right? I guess the market is a primary, not a caucus. Yeah. I would say he should win Indiana.
I guess,
right?
I could see how that could be dangerous now. Look, if he doesn't win New Hampshire, if Bernie takes New Hampshire, then
he's not winning New Hampshire.
Yeah.
He probably would win Indiana, but I don't know if it's a primary caucus.
I have him hard. I have a lot of them, not a lot, but I got in on him to come in second in New Hampshire, and that market's gone.
But on the
way
for real
up.
Tip,
nice
guys,
pick.
Use your brain a little bit. You can make some money. That link one more time is predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20, and we'll match your first $20 deposit if you sign up using that URL.
Nice. All right, guys, we have an update on a story we covered a long time ago. Remember that doctor and his girlfriend who were picking up women at bars? They were like really good looking, drugging and then raping them, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sexiest couple alive.
And then they would record it on their cell phone for, you know, later use, the tune of over 1,000 photos and videos. And half a dozen women came forward accusing them.
And Indiana is a primary, by the way.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. And weren't they accused of like 100 cases?
Yeah, there was a lot of them. Six women came forward, but 1,000 photos, they saw a bunch of different women. Well, the one-time participant of the reality show Online Dating Rituals of the American Male and orthopedic surgeon Grant Robichaud and his girlfriend accomplice Celissa Riley have maintained their innocence this entire time, saying that they were just swingers. And as the trial lingered on, it seemed like it was a slam dunk case. But then a bombshell happened last week when the lead prosecutor said they would drop all charges against the rapey lovers under the grounds that the previous district attorney, Tony Rakakis, used the case for political gains in an upcoming election and that there is insufficient evidence. I don't know, maybe they needed 2,000 photos.
Oh,
whoa.
I thought you were going to say it was the too good looking to rape clause.
No.
Yeah, I thought there was hard evidence.
There is.
Well, the new prosecutor is saying that in all the 1,000 photos, there's not one example of an unconscious woman being like raped.
And this is the prosecutor saying this, not the defense attorney.
Yeah, the prosecutor is saying this. Yes, okay. The new prosecutor.
It's just them posing with unconscious women.
I don't. No one's really seen.
That's also very fucking weird, though.
That's very weird.
That's got to be a crime,
Unless it's consensual, Will, and, you know.
But if they're unconscious, how could it be consensual?
No, they could have said beforehand, they could have wrote
it. Yeah, knock me out and take pictures of my naked body,
please. Yeah, if I pass out, strip off my clothes.
Hey, man. Yeah. Different strokes, right?
I mean, the case broke because one woman woke up out of her, you know, drug induced coma and started screaming for help inside this fucking apartment or hotel room, wherever she was. That's how this all came to light, and that's when all the others, you know, half a dozen women came forward. So seemed like a pretty slam dunk case.
At the time,
We wrote them off for like life in prison.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Let me see. So even though
they were soft cornered, this might have to be a soft corner retreat. We might have to do some digging here.
Right. I thought they were still in the corner, Will. Apparently, they're trying to get out.
No, they've been rejoicing. They've been rejoicing last week on TV that I can't believe it's finally over. I can't believe this happened to us. We're finally going to get, you know, prove our innocence. But the judge has not allowed for this dismissal to take place because the judge thinks that they're fucking rapists.
Yeah, he's like, wait a second.
Yeah. So he's like allowing more time for more evidence to come forward, to give the other women's prosecuting attorneys, you know, discovery is what he's calling it. I'm not really sure if that's the photos or whatever it is. Prior district attorney is saying that he didn't use this case for political gain. I don't know why that should fucking matter anyway.
It sounds like they paid the prosecutor.
As a Maybe. Avid viewer of movies, 3 million movies.
Yeah, we know. We remember.
Every DA and TV show, every DA uses cases for political gain.
But who the fuck cares if it?
Yeah,
that's
their job.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if they,
it's whether they're guilty or not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. That's the part you're supposed to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, the judge is not going to give his final ruling on whether to dismiss the case until April 3rd. So we'll keep you updated on that. But right now it looks like they might get off because, you know, the prosecutor's saying he wants to drop all charges. I think
not great news for bars in that town.
No, not at all. So,
man. Yeah. You're about to get preyed on.
Yeah. Pretty fucked up.
I mean, allegedly, right?
Allegedly, yes.
Allegedly.
Very allegedly. At
totally
this point.
Alleged. Let's move on to more
allegedly.
Positive
All right,
story.
Yeah,
let's
more
take
positive,
it over.
Please.
Let's take it over to the Eastern Hemisphere. This one I'm going to call, In Russia, Blog Kills You.
Okay.
So
slightly better.
What's that?
Slightly better.
Good accent.
Yeah.
This guy, Imran Aliyev, I don't know. He's 44 and a popular anti-Putin and anti-Chechnyan president, Ramazan Kadyrov, blogger. He's been found dead with his chest stabbed multiple times and his throat slit. Mm-hmm. So You could kind of think about that one. I mean, you heard the description of who he is and then what happened to him. So
rival blogger.
That's a tough.
That's a tough beat is what it is. Putin beat. You don't want to get assigned that beat, really.
He was assigned it by birth.
He was late, Will. He was late the day that they were picking who was going to cover what.
Well, he's Chechenian.
It's like out of all of his friends, they're all like equally enraged. And they're like, someone should blog about it. And he's like,
Someone really should do that.
Yeah. Well, this is all over the news. So it's Big J's picked this one up because what happened was Aliyev was in France when he was killed. Him and his Chechenian buddy, who showed up the night before they left, were traveling there for business from Belgium, where Aliyev lives under police protection. So he is an expat of Chechnya, and he writes and blogs his anti-Putin and anti-Chechnyan president stuff from Belgium. But this Chechnyan guy shows up the night before. They go to business, to France on business, and he shows up the next day, stabbed, throat slit. Obviously, now that he's been discovered dead in France, French police are looking for this mystery Chechnyan and think it could be politically motivated.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, the throat slit is a pretty good indication.
Yeah. They left the knife next to the body, too, by the way.
Oh.
This is making Trump so jealous that he can do this.
I hope not. The mystery Chechnyan man is nowhere to be found, and I'm sure the French cops will crack the case. But, Pat, as you said, I hope American politicians do not get into the killing blogger business.
Because, they can't, Will. They just want to. They can't.
That would suck. That would be bad for us. That would be bad for everybody.
Yeah,
everybody
I like to tell them. Jokes, but I don't have... an investigative journalist bone in my body when it comes to safety.
That's true.
Just going to tell jokes until it gets dangerous.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's take it down a notch. Hey, guys, one of every guy's greatest fears is waking up on Valentine's Day and realizing you completely forgot. And because of that, you didn't buy your Valentine anything. Do not blow it this year. Valentine's Day is just a few days away, but you still have time if you move now. If you still haven't ordered roses, you need to act fast with the official florist of Valentine's, 1-800-Flowers.com. Pat's holding up a rose right now because he acted fast. He's handing it to me. Give it back. Right now, you can get the 24-stem colorful rose medley for only $29.99. That's right, the 24-stem colorful rose medley. It's a fucking medley for only $29.99. Or if you want to be kissed all night, upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more, right?
Yeah.
I think you go if you're going for like the big night, you got to go for the reds.
Yeah, it's a worthwhile investment.
Wake up with sore lips and neck bruises.
Is that a medley?
Yeah, is that a fucking medley? Every time I order a bouquet from 1-800-Flowers, I am instantly forgiven. It's like being a Catholic. They show up fresh, beautiful, and impress every single time. They are like kryptonite to the powers of an angry lover, and they are so easy to order. It's a no-brainer.
It's like confession for your relationship.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
So get your bad stuff in now, this week.
You got it, Will. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. The 24-stem colorful rose medley for only $29.99, or upgrade to 24 red roses for just $10 more. It's one of the best Valentine's Day offers you'll ever find, but it expires today. So like we've been talking about this for over a week. It expires today. So get it while supplies last. To order the 24-stem colorful rose medley for $29.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code HARDFACTOR. Order today and save at 1-800-Flowers.com, code HARDFACTOR. It expires today.
I got to do it. I was going to do it, but I haven't yet. I need to do it.
We all got to do it, guys. There's something serious I want to talk to you guys about. There's something that over the course of the last almost 400 episodes of Hard Factor, we've kept from you guys at the Hardo Hive, and it's not something we like to talk about because of the potential legal ramifications, and honestly, it's just a hot, sticky mess. But there's some impending legislation in our home state of Virginia, and I think it's time we finally got this secret off our collective chests. See, the thing is, myself, Mark, Wes, Will, and to a lesser extent, PFT Commenter, are all habitual criminals.
That's right.
We began a series of crimes while living in Virginia that began approximately 1998 for some of us and continued until 2008 when we moved to Texas. Suffice to say, our behavior during that period was not in line with our state's namesake.
Shameful.
That's why we moved, really.
Yes, since the beginning of our state, of Virginia, the act of fornication, also known as boning before marriage, has been considered a class four misdemeanor punishable by a fine of up to $250 per occurrence. And I hope it makes a little bit more sense now why we've kept our crimes from you guys, because if the state were to find out, I could owe as much as $750, which we all know that I don't have.
Yeah, here's my allowance.
But what does oral sex count as?
That's bad.
I didn't have much actual sex before.
That's prison time.
Virginia was not a big fan of sodomy.
Yeah, I moved away at 18, so I didn't have a ton of actual sex in Virginia.
You came back. Charlottesville counted.
Well, I was
came back true.
But you were still, you were bad boy, Will. But thank God, guys, because a new bill to repeal the crime of fornication has finally exonerate us has passed the Virginia House of Delegates last week. And one very horny delegate named Mark Levine, who introduced the bill, said that the law funnels Virginia's confusion and distrust in the law. If unmarried sex is illegal, then what else is? And another horn dog delegate, Mark Sickles, attempted to strike fornication from the code of Virginia in 2014, but it died in committee, most likely because some sex getting haters were jealous of Sickles'
prowess. If any administration was going to bring about the getting rid of the sex laws, it was the blackface sexual assault administration.
That's true.
It's in Virginia right now. They're gonna get rid of a lot of these ticky tacky rules.
My move back in the day was I would whisper in the ear, do you want to commit a crime?
You want to get a $250 fine?
Yep.
I saved up $250.
Mark always called his girlfriend
from my
Bonnie.
Best Buy cashier job.
He was Claude.
Let's get a fine.
Yeah, guys, it passed the House. Hopefully it passes the Senate and will finally be exonerated. I know I'm taking a big gamble speaking about this now before it's completely passed, but I thought you guys should know. Let's take it to the internet real quick.
Yeah, we were bad boys.
We were bad boys. We were bad, bad boys. Dixie Lewis Robinson says, Since where did man get the authority to remake what God has already said? Last time I read the scripture, it said fornication's a sin. The answer to that, Dixie, is since the formation of America. Flora Jane Stewart says,
how is that your Virginia? You're from Virginia. You don't sound like that.
Well, but I'm from Northern Virginia, the good part, the part that West Virginia wants to take.
That Southern accent is pretty much all the South.
Anything below like Fairfax County, Virginia, gets that accent.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. Also, Flora Jane Seward, internet commenter and correspondent, says, who is going to monitor every household to see if this law is being obeyed? And that's a great question, Flora, and I'd like to offer up our services. If the law is not repealed, we would like to pay our penance by being monitors of those halls, if you will. Guys, that's going to do it for Hard Factor. Hey, remember,
Not me. I'm not signing up for that.
No, you're in, Will. It's a partner deal. It's a buddy system, and I already... we have a voicemail. It's 512-270-1480. There's a bunch of good voicemails in there now. We'll read them tomorrow on What the Fuck Wednesday.
Nice.
By the way, What the Fuck Wednesday, I guess that's today's show. It's tomorrow's show. Wednesday show. You want to submit any user-submitted headlines. It's your show. You dictate what's in the show. So DM us on Instagram or Twitter, to a lesser extent, Facebook.
You got
to
get in there early. People have been submitting, starting Sunday, Monday.
We get too many submissions.
Anything after 3 p.m.
Please,
Tuesday is not going to work. At 3 p.m. today, you got to have it.
You send a coronavirus article, tomorrow, today at 6 p.m., you're not getting in.
Yeah, right. No, you're out. Doors are closed.
Get in early.
Anyway, guys, submit your stories. If you can, spread the word about Hard Factor is really important. And have a great fucking day.
Cool.
See you later.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Get your towels ready. It's about to go down. Everybody in the place, hit the fucking deck. But stay on your motherfucking toes. We running this, let's go.
I'm on a boat, I'm on a boat. Everybody look at me, cause I'm sailing on a boat. I'm on a boat, I'm on a boat. Take a good hard look at the motherfucking boat.
I'm on a boat, motherfucker, take a look at me. Straight up.